There we go. Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to the 7 a.m. Eastern Time, Overeaters Anonymous, A Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Amy G., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Maryland. Today's date is Thursday, August 29th, 2024. And today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are at the last page in the chapter, More About Alcoholism, and we are on page 43, the first paragraph, starting with Fred's story speaks for itself, going through that one paragraph, ending in commence to solve their problems, talking about that one paragraph only. The reference, today's readers are Julie B., Martha Z., Jen P., Karen W., newcomer greeter Susan S.H., and the host for the second awesome unrecorded hour, Ken W.H. Thank you, everyone, for your service for the month of August. The reference numbers for yesterday, August 28th, 7 a.m., 21,692. That's 21692. And for the 10 a.m. meeting yesterday, 21,697. OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask for Jen P. to read the 12 steps. Please go ahead, Jen.
Hey, good morning, Amy. This is Jen P., grateful, recovering, compulsive overeater from New Jersey, and honored to read the steps, the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Step one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Step two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Step three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. Step 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Jen P. I will now ask for Karen W. to read the 12 traditions. Please go ahead, Karen.
Good morning, everyone. This is Karen W. from Katy, Texas, compulsive overeater. Grateful to be here. 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should be remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for allowing me to be of service, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Karen W. Alrighty, how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. If you go over, you'll hear my little beeper, or I will say time. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only, please. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. Again, this meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone again. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone should be muted except for the speaker. Today, we resume our study. We are on page 43, the first paragraph, and I am going to ask Julie B. to get us started. Please go ahead, Julie.
Good morning. Thank you so much. It's Julie B. from Akron, Ohio, and page 43. Fred's story speaks for itself. We hope it strikes home to thousands like him. He had felt only the first nip of the ringer. Most alcoholics have to be pretty badly mangled before they really commence to solve their problems. Go ahead and set my timer as well. Again, good morning. I'm Julie B. I live in Akron, Ohio. I'm a compulsive overeater. And this really ties up Fred's story here. You know, he was that successful businessman. He had everything going for him. And luckily, he heard the stories of other members of Alcoholics Anonymous. So it kind of brought up his bottom just a little bit as he neared like a relapse. And I love his story because it really shows that I cannot cure this myself. I can't cure the fact that I want to restrict during the day or that I want to overeat at different points during the day. And in preparing for this, I was thinking of you know, my story in OA. I've been in the rooms for almost 5 years, and I came in just before my wedding in 2020. And for me, my wedding was like the number one, like, you know, I would always be that person that set the date, like, okay, well, I know for this event I'm going to be thinner and I'm going to really do my best to like so I'm, you know, looking like this at this function. And, you know, for me, my wedding was the ultimate, and I just could not get a hold of it. Like, I could not stop eating those sweets that were on the tables of, you know, I was working in weddings at the time, actually, too, and I was in charge of all this food and all these things that people, you know, their families would bring in. And I would go into work and think, I'm not even going to have one. I'm not even going to have one. And what brought me to my knees in absolute surrender, along with many other times that I just had so much regret and couldn't stop, was just eating over 30, of these treats. And I got really serious, and I got a sponsor, and I have, in my program, I think that following instructions and following directions is a huge part of the gift of abstinence. I think that that sort of willingness is what it takes in order for my hands to be open in order to receive the gift of abstinence. And I'm just such a different person today, and I can't go into all of it, but little things don't bother me, because I know that God is in charge. And it sounds stupid, but like, one of the things is like, I'm not even as afraid of spiders anymore. Really random, but that's how this program works. I start to put the fear where it needs to go. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Julie B. Okay, we'd love to hear from everyone, and we're going to take your names and numbers in just a sec here, but would love to say that although we value your experience, strength, and hope, if you shared in the last couple of days, namely Wednesday or Tuesday, if you could please step aside so that others may share their experience, strength, and hope as well. So who would like to share on what was read?
Ken W.H.
Katie G. from Boston.
Ruben H. Israel.
Somebody from Israel.
Katie G.
I got Katie, I've got Ken, and then there was someone from Israel. I still didn't get your name.
Ruben H.
Ruben
H. Yeah.
Lisa B. in South Carolina.
Amy, did you get Kelly back?
L.
Carolyn M. in Louisiana.
Carolyn M.
Anita L.
Did I miss
L.
anybody? Anita. Okay. Anyone else? Was there a question out there that I missed? Thought I heard my name. Okay, well, this is what I have. Ken W.H., Katie G., Ruben H., Lisa B., Carolyn M., Anita L. Anyone else? All righty, we've got a great lineup here. Ken W.H., you're up, followed by Katie G. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much. This is Ken W.H., recovered compulsive eater from North Carolina. Just wanted to speak really quickly to Fred's story and this line. we hope it strikes home to thousands. He had felt only the first nip of the ringer. I'm thinking, wait a minute. It was pretty bad for Fred. I thought it was more than a nip of the ringer. And most have had to be pretty badly mangled. He was mangled, as most of us are in some way or another. But I'm just struck, and I get goosebumps when I read this paragraph, because I remember the ringer and in the basement, and Mom cautioning, watch your fingers. Don't get them caught in the mangle. In the ringer, which was also called the mangle. And so that ringer would mangle my fingers, and it just scared the bejeebies out of me. I wish I'd have read this a long time ago and applied it to my life, because Maybe I would have only had the nip of the ringer instead of having to get mangled. But to me, it was one and the same, a nip of the ringer. It only takes just a little spark of food off my food plan, and I'm mangled. I get crushed by it. I think that's what happened to Fred as well, and I can relate to that. So keep your fingers out of the ringer. That's for me. And I have a good chance of not getting mangled up by this again, and I'm grateful just doing the steps. Thanks, Pass.
Thank you so much, Ken W.H. from North Carolina. Katie G., you're up, followed by...
Good morning, Amy. Good morning, Amy. Thanks for taking the meeting. Good morning, everyone. Katie G., recovered in Boston. So mangled means to mutilate, maim, and damage. And solve means to find an answer. So my question today is, have I found an answer to my problem? And, you know, what we've been talking about and the whole purpose, the main object of this book is to find a power greater than me. And I can tell you that I have had to be pretty mangled in my life. First, by the ravages of anorexia, bulimia, exercise addiction, hypothalamic amenorrhea. I'm 45 and I have more specialists than I know what to do with because I am a hard-headed addict. God needs to hit me over the head with a 2x4 or my lung collapsing, not once but twice. The trauma surgeon saying to me, you're too underweight to have your lung not collapse again, very badly mangled. And that's my story. But today I have to ask myself as a recovered woman, you know, where am I still allowing myself to be pretty badly mangled, mutilated, damaged? Like, where am I being hard-headed in my own life? Where is my ego? Where am I trying to fix, manage, and control my life? And unfortunately, you know, I can be pretty hard-headed, but thanks be to God, you know, what my experience is that they have decreased with frequency, intensity, and duration. You know, yesterday I had an argument with my husband, and I would say, like, maybe 3 or 4 years ago, that would have ended with him storming out and me banging pots and pans in anger and rage. And you know what happened? I did a 10th step. Thanks be to God for my 10th step partner. I saw what my fear was, and I was able to sit there and have a conversation with him about what had happened and hear him say what was hard for him. And that, my friends, is the grace of God. So the nice thing about having a relationship with God is I get more intuition today. I'm more tuned in. I'm recovered today from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body, which means for today, I am a compulsive eater, but I don't suffer. I'm not trying to be the thinnest girl in the room. I have a relationship with God who is going to solve all my problems. What a gift. And with that, I pass.
All righty. Thank you, Katie G. from Boston, Massachusetts. We've got Ruben H. followed by Lisa B. Go ahead, Ruben.
Hi. Thank you so much for leading the meeting. And also, I thank God, Elaine H. from Israel, a recovered compulsive overeater. And I hope this can be taken in the right way, and maybe I shouldn't say it, but one of the things I love when you lead the meetings is I love okie dokie. I love the accent, and thank you so much. I love it. You know, this paragraph is really on point for me today because Fred's story speaks for itself. I learned so much, and this book has helped me become more dedicated to my spiritual life and my faith as being Jewish. However, one of the things this book does that I needed was a detailed account of the day-to-day life of the fallings and the process of this illness. And this gives it in the big book. The story does speak for itself. And it strikes home to thousands like him. It struck home to me. And this is also instructing me and everyone else here on the line that some feel this and go into getting recovered from the first nip of the ringer, and other people have to be pretty mangled up. I don't want to say that, you know, everyone is, it's all relative how mangled we get. In my life, I felt I was mangled. And I became ready to commence to solve this problem. And this is also instructing me to never give up hope. And for people who are on this line, because I felt this way often, was that there's no hope for me. It can't work for me. Stick with it. It can. And it's in God's time. It's not in my time. You know, I constantly run in during the day and say, well, this behavior, so I won't do this next time. It's bullshit. And this book tells me that once I do a behavior, once I do an action that is not God's will, that's more likely than not, I'm going to repeat that negative action because that's the way it goes. So this book gives me the ability and the direction to commence to solve my problems. And it's working for me. And, you know, it's just want to say that, you know, that this is not about just the food, although it starts with me not having my alcoholic foods. But it progresses doing God's will more and more. And that's an individual, personal challenge that I face and we all face to do God's will. Because that's what this book is about. And with that, I pass. Thanks, everybody, for being here.
Thank you so much, Ruben, from Israel. All right, we've got Lisa B., followed by Carolyn M. Go ahead, Lisa.
Good morning, Amy. Can I be heard? This is Lisa.
Yes, loud and
clear.
Oh,
great. Thank you. Thank you so much. My name is Lisa B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in South Carolina, and I spell my name L-E-S-A. I was looking at this paragraph and what jumped out for me, it says, really commence, you know, really commence. Am I just doing half measures? And he talks about, we hope it strikes home to thousands. And, you know, I saw when I came into this meeting, A Vision for You, I had the awareness that, you know, I can possibly live out to be a very, very old lady, you know, maybe over 100 years old and just keep living and, you know, die. But never get recovered, like never get recovered. I used to think, well, when it gets really bad, you know, and sometimes it would just stay in the same horrible place for a long time. And that's the thing with this disease. Death may not come quickly, you know. And I really love that word, that phrase, solve their problems. You know, that's my whole problem is a lot of times I don't want to solve my problems. It talks about and how it works. So our troubles, we think, are basically of our own making. And often I don't want to see that. But I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful for this program of starting with entire abstinence and the doctor's opinion and understanding about that allergy of the body and how real that really was for me. And that I needed to get that so clear. And then the obsession of the mind and what that means and really understanding powerlessness and that the action steps create an experience, a transformation. And I was thinking about that word commence, you know, to begin, to start. And I was taught that the only thing that has to change is everything has to change. And I also heard the saying, pray until you really pray. And that's what I've learned, you know, in this program, that through these action steps, it's about the change inside of me. It's not the circumstances and what's going on in other people. It really is about my troubles are basically of my own making and staying out of my way. And God enables me. God, the power of my higher power that I gain access to, you know, through this work. And it's just such a gift to me. Abstinence truly is a gift. Recovery is a gift. But I had to place myself in position to receive it. I had to place myself in position to receive it, and sharing with you guys each day, you know, especially in the beginning, I was able to hear it in you. And then I started to see that it could happen in me. And it is a recipe to follow, this big book. So thank you. I pass.
Thank you so much, Lisa B. from South Carolina. All right, Carolyn M., followed by Anita L., and then we're going to take some more names. And for those of you who came in a little later, we are on page 43, the first paragraph, starting with Fred's story speaks for itself. Okay, Carolyn, please go ahead.
Hi, I'm Carolyn. This is my first time to ever speak on vision. Thank you. I'm really, you know, kind of nervous, even though y'all can't see me, that, you know, just making that step out of that ringer. I have lived in my mangled life for so many years, begging and crying and everything. Why can't I stop? And since I've come to vision, I realized that, you know, I've got to get closer to my higher power. And I found, you know, yesterday I asked someone to sponsor me, so I'm really looking forward to starting to grow more in the program. And I appreciate everybody that's here. Thank you. I pass.
Carolyn, where are you from? Carolyn, where are you from?
Hello?
Yes, Carolyn, where are you from?
Oh, Louisiana.
Louisiana. All right, awesome. Thank you so much and welcome. Glad to hear you.
Thank you.
Carolyn M. from Louisiana. Yes, awesome. All right, Anita L., you're up, and then we're going to take some more names. Go ahead, please.
Good morning, everybody. This is Anita L. outside of Philadelphia. I meditate every morning with someone, and she suggested that I share today. And actually, I was thinking of doing it myself because last night around midnight, I listened to yesterday's, both the 7 a.m. and 10 a.m. meetings, and I was just so struck by the spiritual answer, listening and knowing in my heart of hearts that I am living in this spiritual way of life. Thank you, God. I'm so grateful. And, you know, it says Fred's story speaks for itself. And why does it speak for itself? Because Fred's carrying his story, his experience, strength, and hope of what happened to him, you know, how badly he had to go down, thinking that he knew it all, and then go back into the disease, and then be willing to listen, and do as others did, who did get recovered, and then he was able to follow suit and live that spiritual way of life. And so what I want to share is that I've had many, many years of recovery. And each time I've, you know, gotten into a period of recovery, my higher power has granted me such a beautiful gift. And I got to a certain point. However, I don't feel that the total surrender was there, and mainly trust in God. That's the difference. And several years ago, I knew that what was missing was my relationship, developing and establishing a deep relationship with my higher power. And I'm so happy to say that for today, I know and love the power within me. And that I am carrying this message to others, that it is possible, me who has gone all the way down, doing things that I wish I wouldn't do, knowing that I shouldn't say that next word and saying it anyway, and now living with my higher power and experience such a beautiful neutrality and on Tuesday was my 70th birthday, and God granted me such a beautiful gift of neutrality and being around my binge foods, you know, when they brought that thing with the sparkler and my daughter-in-law saying to me, I hope that this isn't bothering you. And, you know, I really, thank you. I just was neutral. I was one with my higher power. And that is my message of hope for others. And I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Anita L. All righty. So we are now going to take, oh, sorry, Anita from Philly, Pennsylvania. So we are now going to take some names. Again, we are on page 43, talking on the first paragraph. So who would like to share?
This is Charles H.
Charles.
This is Larry K.
Larry. There was someone after Charles in between Larry that I missed. Who was that, please? I heard somebody.
Kelly S.
Okay. Lily S.
It was Kelly S. after Charles.
Kelly. Oh my gosh. What's wrong with me? All right. Kelly S. Gotcha. Okay. Who else?
Bonnie B.
Bonnie. Anyone else? I think we got room for a couple more.
Diane P.
I have Diane P.
Joanne.
Joanne. Nicole. Joanne P. and Nicole, last initial?
S.
S. All right, we're going to hold there. All right, we've got Charles H., Larry K., Kelly S., Bonnie B., Joanne P., and Nicole S. Hope we can get everybody in. Go ahead, Charles. You are up.
Thank you, my sister in recovery. And just to say, okie dokie is a level of acceptance that, man, you know, but it's so beautiful, so cool. Yeah, for real. So, pretty badly mangled for me today, thank you, God, has nothing to do with food. It has to do with, so we're drilling down on the fifth character in More About Alcoholism. You know, Fred, you know, it talks about when they presented Fred, college kids at college age, they doing good. Fred had bread because he's no longer with us, but he is with us through this book. Fred had bread. His problem was not financial. His problem was like Jim was, and like the Jaywalker and the Man of 30. And whoever else in this paragraph or in this chapter that you could relate to, he failed to enlarge his spiritual life. And it reminds me of page 62. And some people think that page 62 in this beautiful book is step three. It ain't step three yet till page 63. You know, playing God in my life and making decisions based on self that would hurt me, that would make me pretty badly mangled. For example, knowing... following the yellow brick road of this program is amazing. Like doing 10 steps. We can't tell you how much 10 steps to do, and we shouldn't. But there is something, if you're human, there's something going on that I should be examining self and telling another person. And me not doing so makes me pretty badly mangled. I'm starting to worry about who the frequent flyers on this line. I'm starting to worry about who's trying to jack for validation. Stupid stuff that has nothing to do with me, right? I stopped recovering. I stopped discovering. I stopped discarding, as my friends be saying in program. And I get caught up in self. And I'm still making decisions based on self. It ain't about sounding good on this meeting. It's great to sound good in this beautiful examples, but if I fail to enlarge my spiritual life, I am not trusting the program. And the thesis statement that my handsome grand sponsor always says is located on page 45. I'm trying to enlarge my spiritual life, and I am trying to build my relationship with my higher power. of my not understanding. I don't understand God. I stand under God. It works out better when I do that. So when I get out of self and start helping others, and I got a few sponsees, and I lovely push them to, I compel them to work this program. Maybe not like their hair's on fire, because a lot of people ain't doing it like that, and that's their business. I don't like you enough to hate you. I love you just where you're at. And I'm going to keep it pushing. And with that, I pass. Thank you. Okie dokie, sis.
Okie dokie. Thanks, Charles. That's Charles, New York. All right, Larry K., you are up.
Thanks, Amy. We're not a glum lot, that's for sure. Larry K., recovered compulsive overeater from Chicago. No, we're not. You know, most of us have to be, it says, have to be badly mangled. And, I was 100 pounds heavier. But honestly, you know, no one was taking food off my plate. Nobody was slapping me on my fat butt. You know, none of that. Never had one of those. It was all around the middle and above, mostly for me. So what was badly mangled for me is what a fraud I felt I was. Because, for example, in my case, you know, here I was in my profession, a helping profession, a clinical psychologist. I'd, you know, worked with lots and lots of patients. And you know, I had learned, oh, yes, hurt people hurt people. Well, I was hurting lots of people, and yet we wear masks. And as we wear masks, we feel fraudulent, and we don't feel – you know, we know in our heart of hearts that we're fronting. And that's one of the areas for me, and that intensified for me. So while I could, and it got worse because, you know, when you look, you know, reasonably good on paper, but you know in your heart of hearts that it's a bunch of nonsense, you know, because you know in your heart of hearts that you can't do what you want to do, and you can't stop doing what you want to stop doing, right? And so for me, the pain being badly mangled was certainly on a physical plane, but it was on an emotional plane, and I didn't even realize the extent to which it was on a spiritual plane, right? And so, but it got worse. See, that's the, here's the beauty for you. If you're still here, don't worry. It'll get worse. The disease will get worse, and the disease manifests for ourselves in so many ways. And when I would go home, I would teach, and I would, you know, and people, you know, expressed gratitude, and oh boy, wow, you're really something, Larry. But Larry knew different. When I got back home, the divorced man that I was, you know, pizza boxes and fast food, but you know those? You remember those? Some of you have them right now. And they were hidden. I wanted to get rid of the evidence. And it was more the shame. The shame beat me into a state of reasonableness eventually, to where I was at least willing to take a look and learn from people that didn't necessarily look so good on paper, all of them, right? But it didn't matter. Nobody cares. There's no hierarchy here. There's no special, special lunch table here. For the special ones that you might think there is, you might go to a convention and think there is, but it's not. There's my time, Amy. But it's not true. It's not true. We're all on the same level. I'm at the very highest level, servant. That's all I'll ever be. With that, I pass. Grateful. Thanks, Amy.
Thank you, Larry. Larry K. from Chicago. All right, Kelly S., you're up, followed by Bonnie B. Go ahead, Kelly.
Hey, Amy. Thank you so much for taking the meeting. It's Kelly S. Kelly with an EY, Tulsa, Oklahoma, recovered compulsive eater and bulimic. Well, I'm glad to be on the line. So most compulsive eaters, alcoholics, have to be pretty badly mangled. You know, my sponsor reminds me all the time, the disease is a great persuader, because people are always like, what was different? What was different? And, you know, it wasn't the 125-pound weight gain and living in a morbid, obesity that did it. It wasn't being 20 pounds overweight, binging and purging with in a locked door thing, choking with a toddler knocking on the outside, crying. It wasn't any of those physical things that did it. It was, you know, one of my favorite parts in Vision for You talks about I would wake up every morning with the hideous four horsemen of terror, bewilderment, frustration, and despair. That's how I woke up. I didn't wake up with that, you know, I'm going to go to bed and tomorrow will be different, and wake up with that false hope. I woke up with that hideous horseman. Every day was like, what is the point? I wasn't suicidal, but what was the point? I've been in these rooms for decades, right? And, you know, that's the great persuader, right? The disease is the great persuader. When I finally said, I've got this, one more try kind of thing, right? I finally start to understand and hear this message that I lack power, right? And so it's like, yes, I have to put down the food, and that's a miracle. And I love that one of our fellows shared that God's opening act is abstinence, right? But that is only the beginning. And I had to understand that I had to find a big power, you know, I had to find a God that could solve all my problems. And I love that it said, discovery of spiritual principles would solve all my problems, not just my food, not just my eating, because I was living in the bedevilment. That's what made my life so unmanageable. So I put down the food and I get busy, and it is drastic, but my disease was so drastic. But until I get understand that I have no power, and the whole point of these steps, the whole point of the book, isn't the answer. The steps aren't the answer. It's connection with God, my spiritual malady. What does that mean, spiritual malady? It means I'm disconnected from power, right? I have to plug in, and I have to find a God that can solve all my problems. It has to be pretty powerful, right? But I can't do that till I put down the food and get busy taking action. And I do have to have willingness. And people keep saying it's overrated. The literature says it's indispensable. But without the action, then it's not going to help, right? So put down the food, taking the action, do all the drastic measures. Don't look for OA Light anymore, as my sponsor says, and I look for decades. It's not going to be there, not if you're the real compulsive overeater. So if you're waking up every morning with terror, bewilderment, frustration, despair, and hopelessness, there is hope. I'm telling you guys, because I've been around for decades, and I'm living a recovered life today. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Kelly S. from Oklahoma. All right, Bonnie B., followed by Joanne P. Go ahead, Bonnie.
Hey, good morning, you guys. Thanks for taking the meeting this morning, Amy. How blessed are we? Wow. I mean, thank you for all the shares. The shares have been amazing. Bonnie B., living in the state of Florida, recovered today by the grace of God and only by His grace, and I'm well aware of that. I love it. I love the angle. The first sentence, Fred's story speaks for itself. We need each other. We do need to hear each other's stories. You know, I have always said that, you know, God will trump anything as far as my time goes, but people trump meetings because I can always listen to a meeting. And so I hopped on this morning, and within 10 minutes, someone reached out, and I rolled over and chatted with this gal and took a 10-step and gave her a 10-step. And as we dial down, right, this is the story, as we dial down, what is it? What was the nip of the wrangler, like the ringer, like what's going on? It was the peace and the joy. It was the peace and the joy. And so, you know, it presents itself as physical, emotional, spiritual. And for me, it will get all three eventually. But ultimately, the thing that it really wants is my connection to God. If this disease gets a connection to God, which for me equals page 84, I've ceased fighting everything and everyone, or I will say I've lost my peace, I've lost my joy. If I lose those two things, the disease has me. And so it is a spiritual program for me. I came in thinking it was all about the number on the scale, and I've said it many times. It's not about the number on the scale. And yeah, I mean, you know, 50 pounds up, 50 pounds down, wash, rinse, repeat many, many, many times over the course of the last, you know, 60 years. But what it comes down to on a daily basis for me is, can I live in that state of peace and joy? Which means I have to defer all things back to God. This is the badly mangled part. It is inside my head. It is not, I mean, it presents on the outside initially. But once we get to that ideal body weight, and it does happen eventually, Lord willing, it does happen, then it becomes a daily intentionality of staying connected. Because if I don't stay connected, it's the first thing to go. And so I love the fact that, yeah, the stories speak for themselves, and sometimes it looks like it's a number on the scale, but you know, most of us come to the understanding that in the end, no, it's the inside stuff. It's the inside stuff that's either going to get us or keep us free. And so I think with that, I'll pass. But thank you so much, you guys. So blessed. Have a great day.
Thank you, Bonnie B. from Florida. All right, we've got Joanne P. followed by Nicole S. Now, we'll see, we might have time for a couple more. Just a friendly reminder, everyone, we're on page 43, the first paragraph, starting with Fred's story speaks for itself. Okay, please go ahead, Joanne.
Good morning, everyone. This is Joanne P. from Pennsylvania. So grateful to be here. Yeah, compulsive overeater recovered by the grace of God and you. Thank you, all of you, for your beautiful shares and your service. And Fred's story speaks for itself. You know, I look at Fred and I think about how I was mangled, but maybe it was only the tip of the ringer, because so many people, this disease has really completely crushed them. And yeah, I might have, for outward appearances, not appeared to be as I felt inside. You could see who I was. I was growing and growing with this disease. It was so progressive. But I never found OA until 4 years ago. Actually, it'll be 4 years, the beginning of September here. That was the very end of August coming up. And yet, I'm at the end of my life, you know, as my daughter said, hey, Mom, you know, in 1 week you're going to be 3/4 of a century old. How does it feel? And I was like, wow, how does it feel? I feel great, but, you know, by the grace of God, but I'm an antique. What? You know, 3/4 of a century must be an antique, but so thankful for our program and for recovery and for God, who pretty much picked me up and introduced me to LA when I was so desperate, so helpless that, yeah, I knew there was something wrong with me, and I didn't know what it was, and I was killing myself. I knew I wasn't going to be long for this world if I didn't lose weight. I mean, my physical body was, yeah, it was in bad shape. So, yeah, Fred just reminds us of how mangled we can be, whether it be the tip of the ringer just slightly, or we are crushed, we are still hopeless and desperate, and only by the grace of God can we surrender our lives, our food, right, our everything to Him, and know that He will show us the way. With humility, we can experience the joy of this program. We can experience that underlying peace that we have by working these steps and just serving others and being humble and accepting each other. And I love the last paragraph, practicing these principles in all our daily affairs. At the end of those 12 steps, really, I did them 4 times before I really, really understood how, yeah, I have to every day give up judging, criticizing, and just accept everyone for who they are. And it is by the grace of God that we can do that. So thank you so much for letting me share. Bye.
Thank you, Joanne from Pennsylvania. All righty, we have Nicole S. Please go ahead, Nicole.
Hey. Hi, thank you for your service, Amy. This is Nicole S., recovered in Colorado. And, I had to be badly mangled. For me, that was, my son was one, and I had a horrific binge, and I purged, and he saw me, and I realized how I could not stop what I was doing, and I, you know, that's when I was... I commenced to solve my problems. But I know that the floor for me. There's no end to how deep it can go. And I felt just the nip of the ringer. I didn't lose my family. I didn't lose a job, my house, you know, finances, you know, but I know that that floor, it could keep going down and down and down. And, I don't need to keep digging. There's a solution. And I think it's different for everybody what that floor has to be. Some have to be more mangled than others. Thankfully, you know, it has a lot of, you know, stories in this book that, some people didn't quite have to lose everything in life. And some did, but I know that, I need to keep doing what I'm doing and, stay in the solution because I have an incurable illness but I can stay in the solution one day at a time. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Nicole S. Okay, so we have time for one, possibly two shares. Who would like
Susan?
To share on what was written?
Susan S. H.
Susan S. H. Susan, mm-hmm. Let's go ahead with you and see what we got. Go ahead,
okay.
Susan.
Okay, going. I'm Susan S. H. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in St. Mary's, Ohio. And I look at this and I'm not sure how far the ringer had gone on me. Was it just the tips of my finger? Was it clear up my arm? I'm honestly, you know, I didn't lose a hand or I wasn't in the throes of diabetes, but I was at the point where my weight was always out of hand. But my blood pressure was getting out of hand. I was being told I better get my blood sugar checked. Better get this done. And I knew what was ahead, and I was so scared. And I found that the bottom, actually, is where you decide to stop digging and open to something new. And I was desperate. I was desperate to not be any more crippled than I had been for most of my adult life. And I could see things getting worse. I could see my behavior, my eating behavior is getting worse. So, the ringer had gone pretty far. And I hope that our stories and our shares can help some people who the ringer hasn't mangled totally. But for me, it's true. I had to go through the things I went through, the mangling that I got, to become teachable. And here I am, and God willing, I remain teachable and continue to work to maintain my spiritual life. And continue this work. I'm just blessed and grateful for what I've been given, and the ringer didn't get me. I passed.
Thank you so much, Susan S.H. All right, we've got about a minute 30. Who would like to take this? Who would like to take us out?
Rena, New Jersey.
New Jersey? I didn't get your first name.
Rena, R-I-N-A.
Rena, please go ahead.
Yes. Thank you so much for your service. I have not been on this, I've been on this meeting, but I haven't shared in several months. I'm really grateful for not only theirs but for the reading as well. I got a lot out of it. And for me, the mangle is when I am waking up in the morning, was waking up in the morning, and I would be screaming in my head, God, please take this away from me. Why can't I, you know, basically eat what I want and not feel this way when I wake up? But then I realized, wait a minute, God's not going to grab it out of my hand. I have to give it up. I have to surrender it. And I saw that the days where I wasn't feeling mangled are the days that I decided to lean on God, lean on my sponsor and other people to help me rather than make a decision based on self to eat what I want, do what I want, think what I want. So for me, abstinence is across the board. It's not just abstinence with food, but abstinence from self-pity, abstinence from harboring thoughts that don't help me or feelings that don't help me.
So I'm very grateful for this meeting today. Thank you. Pass.
Perfect timing. Thank you, Rena from New Jersey. Wow, what a great meeting. I'd like to thank everyone who shared. Please join us for another awesome second unrecorded hour of study immediately following the closing. The share ID for today, Thursday, August 29th, 2024, 7 a.m. Vision for You meeting is 21,699. That's 21699. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Martha Z., could you please read A Vision for You?
Good morning, Amy. Thank you. Good morning, my friends in recovery. This is Martha Z. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater by the grace of God from outside of Philadelphia. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who's still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.